Father, we just thank you for your goodness, Lord, your mercy, how you have taken care of us and watched over us and protected us and provided for us and comforted us and forgiven us, Lord, so much, and how you've always been there for us, Lord, an ever-present help in time of need, Lord. And if there is ever a time we need you, it's now, Lord. And we thank you that you are the strength of our lives, Lord, that we don't have to live any longer in fear. We can live in full confidence, God. You are on the throne. You reign in the affairs of men. And Lord, our very lives are in the palm of your hand. And so we thank you for your promise, Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We believe that, Lord. May we be found faithful. May we be found steady to the end. And thank you for the grace, Lord, that you give that does sustain us, that enables us to overcome. Because we know we can do all things through Christ, through the strength that you supply us, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Title of the message today is The Need to Heed. The Need to Heed. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. The most important thing for us is to know, to recognize the voice of God. That we can know and identify his voice when God is speaking to us. How many beside me need to hear God's voice? We need God's direction. Lord, what are you saying? Not all the other voices, but what are you saying? I want to know your voice so that if I hear your voice speaking through someone else, I can identify it as such. Are you able to recognize, are you able to hear God's voice? Someone once said, obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. Obedience is the response that keeps the dialogue going. See, God wants us in a dialogue with him. It's not one-way communication. It's not just coming to God continually with petitions and asking him for stuff. But God wants a relationship with us. God wants to hear from us. And God wants us to hear from him. And so obedience is key to keep or continuing in the dialogue with God. If we refuse to do what God tells us in the little things, we risk deafening our spiritual ears. Now think about this. If we refuse to do what God tells us in the little things, we risk deafening our spiritual ears or our ability to hear him. You can become calloused. You can become insensitive. You can become hardened by refusing to heed or listen to the voice of God. As one, I think it was Paul, said, their hearts have grown dull of hearing. I don't want to be dull of hearing. I want to be sharp. I want to be sensitive. I want to be able to clearly define God's voice and know God is speaking to me. I want to have a relationship to where I'm truly being led by the Spirit of God. That I'm not just blindly going through life and hoping God will help me, but that I'm actually aware of what God expects of me, and I'm in partnership with him, and we're doing life together. And life is good in the God zone. It doesn't mean you're not going to have hard times or difficulties, but it means that God will be the strength and your help, and he's never going to abandon you. He's always going to be there. God doesn't leave us, guys. We leave him. But we don't want to become spiritually dull. We want to be sensitive. And, you know, the good news is that God can reconstitute us. God can bring us back to a place of sensitivity. Amen. If we have a heart to know him, to know his voice, to return, then God will pardon. He's merciful, isn't he? He's full of pardon. But we need to be careful that we don't refuse to do what God is saying, even in the big things too. You know, we talk about the big things. God, I'm getting ready to do a move, or do I need to move, or where do I live, or these types of decisions. You know, I'm getting ready to purchase a house or a car or something, you know. Even as churches, we have big decisions to make at times. But if we continue to resist his voice in the big things, then we're actually at a place where we could encounter his actual open rebuke. And I don't want to be rebuked by the Lord. I want the Lord to commend me and say, well done. Amen. Where is the fear of the Lord today? Do you fear the Lord? Do you honor him? Do you respect him enough to say yes and prioritize his will above your own even? King Saul found out the hard way, didn't he? In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel, the prophet, came to him and replied to King Saul's excuse for not obeying the Lord. And he said this, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or what? Your obedience to his voice. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." There's nothing wrong with offerings and sacrifices. Amen. God is pleased with those. But if we're not obedient to him, those things are given in vain. Hear me, somebody. Because sometimes instead of obeying the voice of God, we may be tempted to try and offer God a bribe or some type of plea bargain. I know what you're asking me, Lord, but here's this and here's that. And look what I'm doing over here and look what I'm doing over there. But God's saying, but what did I ask you to do? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 28. "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went." Right? "And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father? Well, they said to him, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him.'" It's not enough just to give God lip service and say we will if we're not going to. And sometimes people are just blunt. I have been in my life right up front, no thank you. But then later I relented. Later the Lord got a hold of me. And then I repented and I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm willing now. You got my attention now. Amen. I'm willing to do it your way, not my way." So here's an example. What if a son came to his father and said, "Dad, what would you like me to do for you today? What would please you?" So the father responds, here we go, guys. You ready for this? "Go take out the trash. Clean your room." Maybe not like that, but the son responds, "Okay, Dad, sure." And goes his way, but does not obey his father's voice. Now, think of this. We may be asking God for his will, but are we really willing to do his will? Are we willing to heed his voice? Are we willing to listen when God does speak to us? Even if it means something that we may not be comfortable with, it may not be what I was actually expecting or thinking. It may not be a plush vacation resort, but it might be in the deep jungle somewhere or in a uncomfortable situation. Are we willing to heed the voice of God? We ask God, "Lord, show me the way." I think many times God is actually speaking to us, but the answer is not what we wanted. So we keep asking. Hopefully he'll say something different next time. I know when the Holy Spirit is dealing with me, he continues to deal with me. He keeps on pressing me. He keeps on dealing with me. You need to get this thing settled with somebody, for example. And he's not going to let me rest until I do it, you know, until I do what he tells me to do. And sometimes that means I have to do something contrary to what I personally would choose for myself. And that's why I need to learn how to die to myself and say, this is what I would do, but God says do it this way, so we're doing it your way. How do you think the father would respond to this son if he continually told him he would do what he asked him to do after coming to him to know what the father expected, what would please the father? Well, after a couple times of that, I think the father would probably have a different attitude towards that son. He may not even talk to him again because he hasn't finished the first assignment that he was given. Are you hearing me, somebody? What do you think God does when we continually play this game with him? That was God's beef with ancient Israel. In Isaiah 65:2, I have stretched out my hands, he said, all day long. It's not like God didn't plead with them or continue with them. But he says all day long to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, according to their own thoughts. In other words, I hear what you're saying, God, but my thought is this. My will is this. In James 1:22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. Be hearers, right? But be doers. And you must do what it says, otherwise you're only fooling yourselves. You know what God says to Israel of old, he's saying to all of us today. In Isaiah 55:6, he said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. As you know, life is only found in Christ. It's not outside of the will of God. Life is in the will, the purpose of God for us. Because the Lord will be where he told you to be. And he will be doing what he told you to be doing. So when you are saying yes to God and joining him in obedience, he's partnering with you in that. You're not alone. You're not on your own. And you'll find out that God's power, his grace is sufficient for every assignment that he gives you. And every time you say yes to God, you're glad you did. Even when it requires us personal sacrifice of my time or what I'd rather do, but I'm willing to do, Lord, your will. I want to prioritize the kingdom of God above everything else in my life. And God says, then you're not going to be worried about any of these other things. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. The pathway of blessing lies in forsaking sin and returning to the Lord. The pathway to restoration in America is in forsaking our sins. And as a nation, turning back to the Lord, it's going to require the church in America to first repent. And I'm praying, God, get a hold of us. Get a hold of me. Whatever it needs to happen. Amen. God is getting our attention right now. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because God cares. God wants to heal. God wants to restore. And God's going to reveal himself to those who return to him with a true heart and those who come with full assurance of faith. You see, the only way we can have confidence in approaching God is to come by way of the blood of the new covenant and not by way of my own goodness. We can't be like the one who stood up and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Amen. We need to be the one that beats his breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve what you've done for me, but you love me anyways. So what can I do to love you back? Well, how can I love you back the rest of my life? How can I serve you with the rest of my days? Hebrews 10:21 says, we have a high priest. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the house of God. And so let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance. What? Because it's the blood of Jesus that qualifies us for the Father's presence. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For the cross. We thank you for your blood that avails for me, that my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. And I come with confidence before him. Hallelujah. Not based upon my own goodness, but because of his righteousness. Amen. And because I'm clothed in his righteousness, I can come with confidence or boldness before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. And I know if I ask anything according to my Father's will, he's going to hear me. So let us draw near, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Isn't it good to have a clear conscience? Has anybody beside myself had a bad conscience before? Nothing worse, right? Living in guilt and giving in shame and regret. You know, God doesn't want his children to live in that place. He wants us to walk in the freedom that he purchased us, amen? And for the forgiveness, to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. You can't earn the forgiveness of God. You receive it by faith. Because he already paid the price, amen, that we couldn't pay. It's by the mercy of God we're saved. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Hallelujah. You want to know God's word? You want to hear his voice? You want to recognize it? Then do what? Turn at his rebuke. All right. What was God's invitation to ancient Israel? Well, it was to return to him. How many know he's inviting everyone today to do the same? We need to return. Isaiah 55:1 says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Isn't that kind of what Jesus said? All you who labor and heavy laden, come unto me, right? All you who labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He will refresh us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We need to beware, first of all, be aware of our need. What are the blessings? The blessings of the waters are the Holy Spirit, amen? The wine is his joy. The milk is the good word of the Lord. These are free gifts. He says they're without money and without price. It's freely given to us in Christ. Everything we have need of is freely given to us. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. And how many know that God is not stingy? He is a superabundant God, overflowing God. Hallelujah. All that we have need of, and he richly supplies us. But most important, God is the one that satisfies our souls. He fills us, amen, in that place of emptiness. And so that we become like that spring of living water, amen. We become basically that vessel that God just flows out of, amen. So not only are we getting refreshed, but people around us are going to get refreshed too. True satisfaction. He said again in verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? You know, some people are just so preoccupied with the temporal that they're neglecting the eternal. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. He says what? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. How many know the word of God is life to us? When God speaks, it's life to us. We want to hear from God. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people are running around looking for a personal word from God. Running to this prophet, that person, that preacher. Say, do you have a word from the Lord for me? And they might have just sat down and listened to a great sermon that was anointed of God. And said, well, what did you just hear? What did you receive what you just heard? There was a word for you right there. And I know sometimes we're saying, I want to know specifically about certain things in my life. And God does use others and speaks through others. Amen. At times, the problem is this, is that some people, they don't want to cultivate a relationship on their own. They just want somebody else, amen, to do it for them. God wants you to know his voice. God wants you to hear his voice and heed his voice. Because his word is life to us. It's life-giving. He cares about us. He loves us so much. I believe God loves us more than we can realize, than we can understand. So true satisfaction and lasting pleasure is only found in the Lord. So what was going on with Israel? Well, they were wasting their energy and their resources, just living for vanity, temporal. So like Israel, we can get caught up in just spending ourselves in unproductive ways because we're not listening to God. How many know listening to God is a productive way? It's a way that we bear fruit, amen, is by abiding in him, amen, relying on him, listening to him, obeying him, and we bear good fruit. What's the end result of following our own selfish ways? So what if a person lives their life without obeying the voice of God? What if a Christian, you know, continues to deny the voice of God? Well, I'll know one thing for sure, they're going to lose their eternal rewards. You see, the Lord wanted us to partner with him because he wanted to share his kingdom with us. And he wanted us to have treasure in heaven. And that is available to those who are going to be yes people to him and willing to partner with him and understand that we are living in a very temporary situation right now and temporary bodies. And how many realize that they're wearing out on us? Shingles coming off the roof, you know, whatever. So God has a brand new body for us, amen, in Christ. But he allows us to partner with him and to serve him now to wear it what? So that we might have treasure in heaven. He invites us to partner with him. How many know that God is not a hard taskmaster? Amen? He says, come unto me. You're stressing out about so many things in life. You're worried about all these things in life. Come to me and rest. Let's do life together. Hallelujah. God will provide for you. He'll take care of your needs. Amen. But he wants you to get into that place where you just let it all go and say, okay, God, I'm done with my ways. I want to walk in your ways because your ways are superior to mine. God's saying, listen to me. He's telling us to listen. Listen to his voice. You need to be familiar with his voice. You need to know the voice of God. It's vital that we know the voice of God. There are a lot of voices today, would you agree with me? Saying all kinds of crazy stuff. We need to know what God is saying in the midst of all that. So don't be one of these people that just run around looking for everybody else to tell them what God is saying. If it's a true prophetic word, it'll bear witness with your spirit because you've already heard from the Lord. And the Lord simply is just putting some light on something that, all right, has already been placed there by him. And not necessarily what we want to hear. Listen to this, Isaiah 55 and verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. What? Come to me and what? Listen. Listen to my voice, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. What are the sure mercies of David? Well, God had promised that when Israel returned to the land, or to the Lord, they would receive all the mercies that he promised David in the everlasting covenant. He was speaking forward. As he said in Psalms 89, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. An agreement. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed, verse 4, not seeds, plural, but seed, what? I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. How long will he establish this new covenant? Forever. In verse 28, my mercy I will keep for him forever. And my covenant shall stand firm with him, with who? David, and the promise that God made to David that from his lineage, amen, a seed would come. His seed, again, also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heavens. So how many know that these blessings that God had promised to David are fulfilled in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. And when he returns to reign on the earth, we'll have the full, amen, the fullness of that. So even the Gentile nations, they're also sharing in the benefits of his kingdom. Genesis 18:18, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, listen, in him. We're not talking about national Israel. God has promises for national Israel, but he's talking about the Israel of God. He's talking about the true Jew, amen, that has been brought together, Jew and Gentile, into one new man in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, or in him, amen, are all the blessings that God gave to Abraham. Remember, Abraham preceded the law. Abraham was the father of the faithful. We are to live by faith today, amen, in the promises of God. So it's going to be through Abraham's seed that the Messiah would come, and also through David. Genesis 22:18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Oh, because what? Because someone was obedient. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. In Genesis 26:4, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. What? In Messiah, the seed. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:4, indeed I will give him, Messiah, as a witness to the people, a leader, meaning king, and commander, or lawgiver. Commander or lawgiver. So he's king and lawgiver. Amen. For who? For the people. The Lord is going to come and return just like he said, just like the angel said. Amen. In like manner as you saw him go into heaven, he will return again, and he will establish his throne in Jerusalem. He shall reign over all the earth. So in order for us to know Jesus, amen, we must be in Christ. You must be born again. You must receive the Spirit of the Lord, amen. Otherwise, you cannot know the things of God, because they are revealed to us by the Spirit and not by our natural understanding. There are many people that are trying to learn God simply through exercising their natural understanding, and they're coming up with all kinds of equations, all kinds of weird stuff. So have I at times. But sometimes God has to tweak us and readjust us, you know, and get us straightened out again. But we need the Holy Spirit in us to guide us in all truth. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things, what? That have been freely given to us by God. How do you know the things that are freely given to you? By the Spirit that he's given us. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to recognize the voice of God. So how does God speak to us today? Primarily through his Spirit, right? By his Spirit, through his Word. By his Spirit, right? Through his Word. Now here's several ways. Number one, God speaks to us through prayer. I've covered these before, but prayer should be a two-way conversation. God wants to speak to you. So prayer is a dialogue. And a dialogue, amen, is based upon our willingness to listen to his voice. God speaks to us through the Word, the Bible, amen. How many times have you heard from the Lord just reading the book, amen, and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you? So we should see in the verses of the Bible, the words themselves, we should see as the very words of God. So when we're looking at this, we should be saying, this is God speaking to me. Amen? No, this is God speaking to Joe over there, not me. No, it's God speaking to you. Amen? I need to hear from God. All right, God will take care of Joe. I just need to take care of me, all right? Is Joe here? Good, I'm glad he's not here. Joe, if you're listening. But, you know, think about it. Jesus rebuked Satan in the wilderness, doing what? Reciting the written word of God. Do we need the written word of God? Yes, we should hide it in our hearts like David did. Amen. Get it on the hard drive and the Holy Spirit will bring it to the screen. God speaks to us through his spoken word, through the preaching of the message, amen, through prophetic utterance from apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. God speaks to us. The message is more important than the human messenger. Can you say amen? God speaks to us through, of course, this Holy Spirit. Without him, we cannot know. Sometimes, you know, I've never had this happen to my knowledge. Maybe back in the day before I knew the Lord, I heard an audible voice before. I was wondering what that was. But sometimes people claim that God has actually spoken to them audibly, and I can believe that. Why not? Has not God given his angels charge concerning us? And as servants, amen, to serve those who are heirs of salvation? Sure. But if sometimes you have to be very careful with people that are saying, you know, I'm hearing God all the time talking audibly to me. Just putting that out there, you know. So God speaks to us, and mostly God speaks to me through thoughts. He drops thoughts in. And it usually isn't something that I was thinking on, meditating on. It's just all of a sudden, psh, and I know God just drops something in. And it will always, of course, it will never contradict what's written. It'll always be in agreement, amen. An inner whisper, a feeling sometimes, had a strong impression about something. A word of knowledge that may come, or wisdom through another believer. And sometimes through dreams and visions, God speaks to us. But God speaks to us through creation itself. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. And Romans tells us that man is without excuse, because what may be known about God is obvious through the creation itself. You know, I shared this before, but, you know, we could put a man on the moon, but we can't duplicate a blade of grass, you know. We can get close to it, but we can't duplicate a blade of grass. It's so complex, and it's God's creative, you know, order. But man can certainly take the things that God has already created and put them together and maybe change the forms of things and create things out of that. But he is the original author of all life and all creation. Amen. And so even in the simple things, if you look at even like an insect, I used to be into bugs, you know. But if you look at an insect under a microscope, you know, they're just so complex and intricate. And all those details and everything, it's like, how can you not say there's a God, you know? And who told the turtles to go back to the ocean, you know? And who told the geese to fly south, you know? Well, evolution. What's evolution? Is that a person or something? I've never heard of that, but we're without excuse. You know, we may try to convince ourselves there's no God because we don't want to be accountable to that God. But you're going to be accountable. All of us will. Now, God speaks to us, of course, also through angels, his holy angels, even in the New Testament. But we know, I'm going to just share a little bit out of this, because we're never to worship angels, right? Because Hebrews 1:14 says that they're servants, right? Spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So they're sent to minister to the people of God. Now, remember in Revelation 19:10, when John encountered the angel, he fell at his feet to do what? To worship him. But the angel said to him, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." We also know not to believe any spirit that contradicts the word of God. Galatians 1:8, Paul said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven..." I've heard people talking about this angel told them this and told them that. And when I heard the angel tell them, I was like, no, that's not God. I'm sorry. God wouldn't say that. How do I know that? Because I have the word and I have the spirit. And that does not bear witness with the spirit or the word. And you guys, if you don't know the promises of God, you know, you need to learn. Amen. You need to learn what God has said. We need to study to show ourselves approved. There's too many people that are just relying on somebody else to tell them what God is saying again. And you can get very easily into error and not even realize it. But he said this, "If they preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let them be accursed." Now, are we hearing? Ask yourself, am I hearing and am I obeying the voice of God? Or am I like that son who's just kind of like wanting to know, but once I find out what's required, I'm not so interested anymore? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to become dull of hearing. I want to hear the voice of the Lord because it's life. I don't want to be rebellious. Amen. God, root out of me anything, any rebellion in me. Bring me to a place, amen, where I can be a vessel of honor, where I'll be submitted to you and willing to do whatever you tell me to do. but not out of obligation, but out of love and out of gratitude for all you've done for me. I want to give back to you now, to offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much or abundant fruit. However, apart from me, that means cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Hearing God is foundational to our walk with him. Not just hearing his voice, but obeying his voice. The question is, can God speak to you? Can God speak to you? Does he have someone who will listen to and obey his voice? I want to be a yes person when it comes to the Lord. Guys, God's working in us. Even today, God's working in you. God's speaking to some of you here today. And often when I prepare messages, God's speaking to me too. It's not all about what you need, it's what I need too. What we need as God's people. It's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to get detoured. So many things that are screaming for our attention right now in this world to take us away from that fellowship we need with God in the Spirit, to where we are at his feet and we're hearing and knowing and man, his will for our lives. And we're willing to do his good pleasure. You know why David was considered a man after God's own heart. You know the answer. Because David was willing to do all of his good pleasure, all of the Lord's good pleasure. That's why, even though David had sinned, God saw his heart. And he was one that was willing to do all of God's will, even when it cost him. In fact, he didn't even want to do anything without it costing him something. God is in the sacrifice, but guys, the sacrifice is worthless if there's no obedience, if we're not willing to listen and obey the voice of God. And guys, the will of God for me is not going to be exactly the same for you. You need to discover him and know what he's telling you to do. Amen. And don't expect me to do what you think I should do. And vice versa. But we do need to know the voice of God and obey the voice of God as individuals, as part of a body, so that together we're going to be edified. We're going to be built. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to be right lifted up for Jesus' sake. Hearing God is foundational. And again, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. How does he know them? Because they obey him. They follow him. Hebrews 3:15, I'm going to close with this. While this said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As in the rebellion today is meaning this dispensation of time. It means if you can hear God's voice right now, if you can still hear God's voice, start listening. Start obeying what God is telling you. Don't harden your heart. Don't become callous towards God. Amen. If you've been denying the voice of God, if you've been disobeying the Lord, then repent. Come back to him. He will forgive. Amen. He will cleanse and he will restore you. But he waits on us to respond to his invitation to come to him. Amen. Because if we refuse to do what God tells us, even in the little things, we risk deafening our spiritual ears. So don't be like that son who hears and understands, but doesn't do anything to obey his father's voice. You know, Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, that we bear fruit. How do we bear fruit? By abiding in Jesus, by continuing with Jesus, by being a willing vessel for the Lord. So the Lord is looking for someone who will say, here am I, Lord. Let's do it together. I want you to use me. Out of my life, I want Jesus to shine. Amen. For the sake of the world, for the sake of the lost, Lord, here am I. I'll be your hands and your feet. I'll be your voice. Don't be like the son who hears and doesn't obey his father. Hallelujah. And I'm going to finish with this. John 8:47, Jesus said this, He who is of God hears what? God's words. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you for coming today. In just a moment, we're going to go downstairs for our potluck, and I hope you can join us. Don't worry about it if you didn't bring anything. Hallelujah. We can send you the bill. Guys, you've heard from, I trust you've heard the Holy Spirit working through me today. And are you willing today? Are you saying, Lord, I hear what you're saying. And Lord, I don't want to be dull. I want you to sharpen me. So would you right now, just between you and the Lord, say, Lord, please forgive me. In the areas where I've been rebellious or disobedient, Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want you to change me. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. And please cleanse me from all my sin, all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit again. Lord, set my heart on fire for you. Make your will my desire, Lord, because I want to run this race. And I want to finish with joy. And I want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord, do in me what needs to be done to bring me to that place where I'll be an obedient son that lives for the pleasure of his Father. Thank you for being a father to me, for accepting me. And when I come to you, Lord, you don't cast me away. Thank you for receiving me and for restoring me. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver me from every vice, every addiction, everything that would displease you. Lord Jesus, set me free from it all. And fill me with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's worship him. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within me.